the hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Nebraska football has its new head coach, and that head coach is going to be Matt Rhule, previously of the Carolina Panthers, the Baylor Bears, and the Temple Owls. I'm Mike Schaefer, joined by Michael Bruntz. We are going to walk through Nebraska's latest coaching hire, Matt Rhule, here this morning. Bruntz, this doesn't really come as a surprise. We sort of expected it here in the last, I'd say 72 hours, maybe even get up to 96 hours, probably about Tuesday is when things sort of felt like it was heading pretty hard to Matt Rhule. What do you think now that it's happened?
Yeah, I think, you know, we'd known for a few days that things were trending this way. You had the reports basically right around kickoff that Nebraska was going to be headed that direction, and it was a matter of kind of ironing some things out. And it's been kind of a unique, I think, kind of close to the search, because you had the Panthers that were involved. You had a $40 million buyout that the Panthers were required to pay, and kind of how, you know, Nebraska fits into all that. You know, that was one of the big details that they needed to hammer out in the last 48 hours. But I think it's on the surface, a great hire. I think kind of what he's done in his background and stops at Temple and Baylor, can travel to Nebraska. And, I think it's okay to approach things with a little bit of skepticism, but I think in terms of kind of the options that were there for Nebraska and fit, I think this is a good hire.
I personally just feel like this is a fit. Like it's a guy that seems like he belongs in college football more than he did in the NFL. I think Matt Rhule himself feels that. Nebraska is a place that isn't, you know, it isn't Waco, it's not Philadelphia, but it's a place that he's going to have the most support, the most resources that he's had in his time in college football. And he won at some outposts. He had success at places where, you know, it's not normal that Temple is good at football. It hadn't been normal that Baylor is good at football. And he went there and they struggled initially that first season. And then he quickly got that thing built into where they were competing for a Big 12 championship by year three. So I look at Matt Rhule and I look at a guy that's a builder. I look at a guy that can build up the foundation, and that's what Nebraska needs. And I also think he can coach a little bit. And more than anything, I look at a roster that simply needs better coaching. It you know, Nebraska gave away games this year because of coaching decisions. Development at certain spots on the roster was uneven, to the point where you even felt like guys regressed. So I think that more than anything, Trev Alberts went out and found a guy that can go and coach football comparably to the rest of the Big Ten, because it's a coach's conference. You got to be able to develop. You got to be able to win in the margins. And I think that's where Matt Rhule can really help Nebraska.
Yeah, that's a good point. The development piece is huge. I mean, when you look at what they were able to do at Baylor and at Temple in terms of developing guys, I mean, the results were shown in the NFL draft, where guys by far outplayed their recruiting rankings. And I think that's the kind of guy that you kind of need at Nebraska, because as we've seen, and you know, this is over multiple coaching staffs, generally Nebraska's four-star guys have not played like four-star guys. And it's a place where you have to be able to recruit to an identity. You have to be able to develop. And that's what Matt Rhule has done. I think he is a better fit for the college game. I think he kind of had to learn that the hard way in Carolina. And, you know, we can kind of get into it briefly, you know, later on. But when you kind of dig into his coaching tree, he's got the potential to hire a pretty good staff and a staff that has Power Five head coaching experience, which I think was a downfall of Scott Frost, partially Scott Frost's staff at Nebraska. And, you know, guys that, you know, as they've kind of left the Matt Rhule nest, so to speak, they've also gone on and turned into pretty good recruiters and coaches as well. So I think there's a lot of potential there. We'll learn on Monday during the official announcement, kind of the salary pool for assistant coaches and a little bit more on Matt Rhule's contract. But when you're kind of digging into candidates and the kinds of staffs that they could put together, I think Matt Rhule, when you look at the guys in his tree, I think there's some tantalizing potential there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's sort of what the next step is here with Nebraska, is figure out the staff, figure out who's staying, who's going, who's coming in. And with Matt Rhule having had some months to sort of think about what he wants to do, and then Nebraska and Matt Rhule having engaged in conversations earlier in November, so this had to have been on his mind. You got to think that he's going to be able to put together a staff relatively quickly. Now, it's not as big of a deal as it had been in past years because of this dead period that'll run until Friday. The signing period runs until February. But that gives him an opportunity to get some guys into town, put together a staff, and, you know, then hit the ground running. And also recruit his own roster that he's now inherited. We've already seen here on Saturday morning several guys announce decisions. You've got Trey Palmer headed to the NFL. And you have Brian Buscini coming back and ready to provide some more punts at Memorial Stadium, in which he got very familiar as Nebraska turned into the most Big Ten West team I think it's ever been over the last 5 weeks of the football season. So Brian Buscini back, Trey Palmer gone. We're going to see more of those sort of roster decisions. What do you think the most critical roster decision right away for Matt Rhule is?
Well, I wrote about this right after the game, and I think a big one is just figuring out Nebraska's quarterback picture. You know, we don't know 100% kind of what a Matt Rhule offense is going to look like at Nebraska, but, you know, you have Casey Thompson as the veteran guy kind of making a decision in the offseason about kind of what he's going to do. And then you have just a group of guys that seem like they were all recruited to run different offenses. And that's, you know, part of the issue at Nebraska with the quarterback room is you just don't have somebody, if Casey Thompson decides to leave or go pro or whatever he's going to do, ready to step in. I think that's the biggest personnel decision that's going to kind of loom for Matt Rhule is what Casey Thompson is going to do, what direction they're going to take at quarterback, because that's a position that you have to get right, I think, right away to give yourself a shot at, you know, being able to give this a go and win right from the get-go. So the quarterback spot's huge. And, you know, I mean, is your sense that Nebraska is going to have to be very portal heavy this year, just based on what we've seen in 2022?
Yeah, it really depends on what happens with a number of guys on their roster. They don't have a ton of natural openings, but if you get a bunch of guys that just choose to leave or to finish their career elsewhere or just be done with college football, then you're going to want to backfill some of that. And I don't know how much will be high school. The quarterback equation is going to be fascinating because I sort of look at Nebraska's roster and I think back to Charlie Brewer a little bit. And that's kind of the guy I most link with Matt Rhule. That was his quarterback in 2017 and 2019, kind of when they made that run before he left to go to the Panthers. And Charlie Brewer was a guy that you know, was a dual threat quarterback, but wasn't going to just burn you with his legs. He could move the pocket a little bit, throw the ball. Like, I don't think Casey Thompson's too terribly far off from what Charlie Brewer was at Baylor. And so if you're Matt Rhule and you're watching that, and unless you've already got a guy in mind, I think that's a really important conversation to have, because we saw yesterday, when given some time and, you know, presented with an offense that kind of works, like, Casey Thompson looked good. That was a really good game for him against a very good Iowa defense that he was able to pick apart. And so I look at Casey Thompson, I still sort of feel like the smartest play maybe as you transition would be to try to get him to stick around. Now, if there's another quarterback that Matt Rhule absolutely loves, totally understand it. But what's behind whoever the first guy is, is probably equally as important, because Nebraska has yet to have a season. You can go all the way back to what, 2012, where their starting quarterback started every game, didn't get knocked out at any portion with an injury. And so you've got to have backups too. And so I don't, with what we saw from Chuba Purdy and of course Logan Smothers and sort of nothing from Heinrich Harburg and Richard Torres, I don't know what's behind Nebraska there. And so the backup piece might be just a little less important than the starter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if you're looking at offense, I mean, offensive line is probably priority 1B right behind the quarterback spot. You know, Matt Rhule does have a background as a line coach. So that helps. I'm, you know, the fronts have to be fixed. And that's kind of, I would say probably among the first orders of business for him. But as you kind of look at this hire from a recruiting perspective, I mean, do you think it's going to kind of rile up the region, I guess, in terms of what Nebraska is doing? Because I mean, Matt Rhule is not a guy that, you know, at Baylor signed a bunch of five stars or, you know, kind of had a ton of juice on the recruiting trail. I mean, what's kind of your early read on what this means from a recruiting perspective?
Well, I think he's got kind of a template of the players that he wants. He's going to recruit to that. I think you're going to see Nebraska sort of recruit down into Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas. You're going to see Missouri, Iowa. I mean, a lot of what they were trying to do with Scott Frost, but I think his evaluations were really strong when he was at Baylor. They found a number of guys that are on NFL rosters or will be on NFL rosters that weren't highly rated guys. I mean, you look at a James Lynch, who, of course, you know, he was committed to USC and TCU at one time before Baylor flipped him. I mean, that was a guy that was a mid-level three-star that is now in the NFL with the Minnesota Vikings, was the best defensive player in the country in 2019 as an interior defensive lineman. Like, he wrecked lives in the Big 12. Like, you go put on the highlights of James Lynch, and I'm not saying that he was Sue, but he was as close to Sue as we have seen from a college player, which is sort of hilarious because that gets thrown around, like, for all of these recruits. Like, this guy's an ex-Sue, and then they never go on and do it. And then there's sort of unassuming James Lynch, who has his own Nebraska tie that I'll just spare the Husker fans from having to hear about, that was just demolishing people. And so I think for me, you know, you kind of look at what he was able to do in terms of finding these guys, and you have to assume one of the great things about the Midwest is there's a lot of underutilized athletes. There's a lot of guys that fit body profiles. Even in the state of Nebraska, you're talking about players like, you know, Maverick Noonan comes to mind, Malachi Coleman. You've got the Carter Nelson out in Ainsworth. Like, you just have some really good athletes that don't necessarily fit the parameters of the four-star guys. Now, Malachi Coleman does, and we'll see what happens with Carter Nelson. But they're just really good, raw athletic ability. And that's what he went and found at Baylor. And then he was able to develop them into good football players. And so And on some levels, I think that sort of works with what Nebraska has and what's around it, because you've sort of got some underdeveloped athletes in your recruiting area that if you can take advantage of, and particularly if you can find some of those guys on the line and you build them into being good players in the trenches, that's going to help you probably more than anything. And I think that's going to be a big part of what happens here. I know that's not super sexy. I know it's not going in and you're going to put Ohio State and Michigan on notice this way. But frankly, what Nebraska has to do is build back to the middle. And then with that success, they can start achieving a higher level recruit than he was able to do at Baylor, because the resources are there. The facilities are going to be there. So if they build back to the middle successfully, then I think they're going to be able to climb to the top.
Yeah. An 8-year deal for Matt Rhule. So Nebraska's obviously, you know, signing itself up for a lengthy rebuild here, and maybe showing some patience. It's funny. I feel like we've kind of turned the calendar to 2023 already a couple weeks ago, but you start looking ahead at kind of what the future looks like for Nebraska football. And this happens every time you hire a new coach. I get that. But, you know, in 6 months, you're going to have a brand new $150 million practice facility opening. you've got a new head coach that, you know, I think, you know, can win at Nebraska. I think he has a good plan based on what he's done previously. It just feels like this program has needed a reset and almost kind of since the COVID year in some ways. And so I think, you know, you have a lot to look forward to, at least with how this comes together. We'll see if it actually, you know, results in any wins on the field. But, you know, I just in terms of the process and the search and the 75, 70, however many days it ended up being, I hope we never do it again that way. But, you know, I think Trev Alberts did a pretty good job of, you know, making sure that by the end of it, no matter, you know, if you needed to get the car over the finish line, you know, strapped with duct tape, he was able to do that. So I think credit there. But yeah, I mean, it just this program has felt like it's just needed a, you know, a reset for a while. And I think 2023, you at least have the opportunity to do that now.
And everybody has hot new Christmas gift, the smocks. You get those red and white smocks out there. We're going to see them, I'm sure, all over Minnesota and Colorado to start the 2023 season. You know, Nebraska fan base is all in on the fashionable trends. And so looking forward to seeing all of those at visiting stadiums and Memorial Stadium.
The only concern I have is I'm really afraid that copy editors around the state are going to just tire themselves out with bad rule puns in the next 24 hours.
I think it's going to be brutal.
Everybody needs to make sure and just pace themselves. It's a long off season. So let's go easy on the puns right out of the gates here.
I'm with you. I'm with you entirely. All right, Brunts, just wanted to dive in here for a few minutes. Of course, we're going to be back with more Husker 24/7 podcast content about this. We're going to dive into more of the recruiting, more into the staff, more into everything, more into the roster. Goodness, Brunts, there's a lot of work ahead for us.
Good gravy.
Yeah. Well, the good news for everybody else is we're more than equipped to handle that work, and we're looking forward to it. And, of course, you can catch everything that we have going on at Husker247.com. Got a great deal going on the site right now. You want to take advantage of Black Friday deal, Cyber Monday deal, whatever the hell you want to call it. It is 75% off for a VIP subscription. You want to dive into that right now. Of course, that'll get you the VIP content. And be sure to subscribe to the Husker 24/7 podcast. Have every podcast downloaded to your listening device, making it super easy for us to get to your ears. We'll be back with more Husker 24/7 content later this weekend.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.